C1B, 1 and 2.
Number 2A.
Yes, we want to investigate this very, very fundamental question that Mrs. Eddy raises here. That great, great question, are there two developments going on side by side, two evolutions going on side by side, one that brings forth material wonders, the other that brings us nearer to the spiritual ultimate? This is the great question that has been the central question of all religions since time immemorial, the central question of philosophies, the central question, naturally, of the evolutionists: is evolution material? Is evolution spiritual? Are there two kinds of evolution? Today it's a question that practically everybody, especially also biology, modern biology, investigates, and on which really there seems to be no agreement. In every science, we still have those two great opponents. The one that feels that all evolution is being brought back, can be reduced to material laws. The others on the other side, that all evolution, wherever it is, can be reduced to spiritual laws. And here Mrs. Eddy brings up this question, and I think it is therefore of greatest interest that we look a bit deeper into these great challenges that we find in the world. Let's first see it again through the terms that Mrs. Eddy uses, where she said that in the material world there are this, that thought is at work, and that thought brings forth with great rapidity useful wonders, like the technology of today, and then with like rapidity, as if there were a parallel evolution going on, is another evolution, also with thought's swift pinions, is rising to the realm of the real, to the spiritual. And then she makes that enormous point on which the whole chapter hinges, and on which really the answer to this big question hinges, namely that she can say through the spiritual cause of those lower things which give impulse to inquiry. Therefore, thought is rising to the spiritual cause, and at the same time she says, and that cause, that spiritual cause, is also the cause of those lower things, the cause of technology, the cause of material evolution as seen through the last 3 billion years, that there is only one cause that is apparently responsible for both developments in the spiritual world and in the material world. In this way, she would indicate that there is actually only a monistic development in the world, that there are not two causes, but one cause. And then she adds another sentence and says, belief in a material basis from which be deduced all rationality is slowly yielding to the idea of a metaphysical basis, looking away from matter to mind. And then comes again the great point, as the cause of every effect. So that she would again say, as we turn away from a material basis and begin to see that the divine mind is the only basis and the real basis, that would be the solution again of a monistic concept of creation. Only have one kind of cause, namely the divine mind, but that divine mind again being the cause of every effect. Therefore, again, the cause of the effect in the spiritual and in the material. Therefore, being the effect, that effect being shown in the spiritual development, and also the effect shown in those many useful wonders the effect shown in the material world. If that could be explained clear enough, then naturally we would find here the answer to those thousand-year-old questions that the best brains in the world have been considering and somehow have never really found an answer. And we'll see that the answer will lie again in that new approach of today, namely to have a structural approach to the question and therefore find a structural answer instead of a one-dimensional question and with a one-dimensional answer, as if everything would only be, as if the play of the world would only be played on one stage and not on many stages at once. That really what happens in the world, in the spiritual and in the material, is something that must be considered dimensionally, and then only then when it's considered dimensionally we find the right answer. But if it's considered as if there would only be one dimension, only one level on which everything could be explained, we will find no explanation. Now we know that mostly up to today, most people can only think in one dimension. They always think everything must be explicable on the same level of experience, and they've seen that it is either spiritual or it is material, not knowing that it is both. That in a dimensional sense, we can see that an idea is working on both levels at the same time, just as she showed it here, and therefore bring forth useful wonders in the spiritual and bring forth useful wonders in the material, but not on the same level, but on different levels. And the explanation of that is the great problem that I think the world is facing today, among others, to really see what is happening. What is happening in the world, on the material plane, on the mental plane, on the spiritual plane? Are these planes that are distinct from each other, that run according to their own principle and laws, or are they only levels of one principle, so that principle is dimensionally explicable and therefore must be understood in a dimensional way? Again, we would have to culture ourselves into reason vertically and not only diachronically along one line. What this implies may now have been a bit theoretical, but I'm going to show that to you step by step, and after 2 hours or so you will see what it means. And therefore I would like to digress here a little bit and look into this very question here that is central to our age, central to the understanding of Christian Science, actually, so that we can finally resolve that eternal argument which says all is spiritual and therefore we can discard the material, or all, then the natural scientist saying, no, all is material, the spiritual is highfalutin, that doesn't exist, this is just illusion, then we should find an answer that would satisfy, so to say, all aspects. So I want to build up the subject step by step and start with that great question that is now under consideration, especially among biologists. The Nobel Prize winners in biology, they just fight each other because the one takes a position that is exactly opposite to the other. And so we see the world has not found the answer. It is a great question, do we have actually two kinds of evolution? Do we have a material evolution, or do we have a material evolution? And the old classical reasoning in which we have been brought up only leaves this possibility that we choose one or the other, that we say either it is spiritual or it is material. the classical reasoning doesn't leave another answer. And that's the pitfall of the classical reasoning. And we must see that we find a modern logic, a structural logic, that alone can answer this question. So, if the question is put forward first, is there therefore a spiritual evolution or is there a material evolution? Then you can say, you can choose and say, if you say yes, there is only a material evolution, then you would have to explain what is the spiritual. And you can explain again, you have again two possibilities and say the spiritual does not exist, or you have a possibility to say that the spiritual is only another form of the material, which is very predominant now in biology. And if you say evolution is spiritual, one would have to explain why then can we touch with our hands and see with our eyes and hear with our ears an evolution that is material, because nobody can deny that there is a material evolution going on, that 3 billion years ago there were only the first living cells, and that from that there was a constant evolution going on through fishes and birds and animals up to man, then up to thinking, then up to ethical values, moral values, then to abstract thinking, then to thinking in terms of symbols. That's an evolution nobody can deny, isn't it? So those who would say there is only a spiritual evolution, they would have to explain why there is appearing a material evolution. We can't just close one's eye and say it isn't. It is. We can witness it with our hands and with our eyes. Therefore, is spirit the product of matter? Or is a material evolution the product of spirit? Can you see, this simple question leaves open alone on the level of the old classical reasoning, leaves open many questions, many possibilities. Alone on the dualistic logic, many possibilities. And they have never been solved. They cannot be solved, because the answer is not in the classical logic, but in a dimensional logic. What does that mean? Well, before I answer that, so that it is very clear, I just try now to evolve that question as I put it. It would mean that if we take the science of being, as Mrs. Eddy has presented it, and if we take the standpoint there, that there is only spirit and the evolution of spirit, then the objection naturally would be that we cannot deny that there is also material evolution. We cannot deny that. The answer, therefore, is first, as I would give it, and then afterwards substantiate it, is that the spiritual evolution, which Mrs. Eddy presents, that spiritual evolution appears, it only appears, on a material level, to be a material evolution, but still remains a spiritual evolution. Can you hear what I do? I take in those two standpoints which we already have seen in the other chapter on creation, that really we have to take in two, at least two levels, the absolute levels and the relative level. But instead of seeing them as separate in watertight compartments, as having nothing to do with each other, we must see that we can also reason vertically and see that what is a spiritual evolution does appear on another level of consciousness as a material evolution, though it still remains its identity to be a spiritual revolution. You can see it is a translation. It is a translation from one level to the other level, to a lower level, and therefore is a vertical impact and not a linear cause and effect development. Therefore, Let's just go a little step further. Therefore, we must see that what is seen and witnessed as a material evolution. Let's take the evolution of mankind, the whole world of the whole earth. That what seems to be a material evolution is not, this is now the point, is not an evolution of matter. It's not an evolution of matter. An evolution that evolves out of matter. That's the great belief. And that's where the logic is wrong. Because it is not matter that can evolve. Though we see a material evolution, it is not matter that evolves. Therefore, that which seems to be a material evolution is actually a spiritual evolution in spite of matter. In that little term, in spite, lies, so to say, the other logic. Instead of saying we witness a material evolution, which is an evolution out of matter, matter evolving, we really should see that what is seen as a material evolution is a spiritual evolution that goes on in spite of matter. Not out of matter with the help of matter through matter, but in spite of matter. Therefore, what we consider and can witness with our eyes as a material evolution is therefore nothing else but that matter. It's nothing else but the very contrary. It is namely matter losing its limitations, matter giving up its material beliefs. When matter is being freed from its limitations, it takes on more sophisticated forms, higher forms, so to say, until finally the last limit is taken off from matter, and then matter disappears. Therefore, what on the level of our eyes and ears is witnessed as a material evolution is actually not matter evolving, but matter dissolving itself, giving up its limitation, being freed from its limitations. See, that's the point. The biologist, he looks, the evolutionist, he looks at matter and says, some 3 billion years ago, there were just these tiny little living cells, just with one cell, but living, and from there, through division and division and subdivision, 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 through 3 billion years, the form of a man with a brain was created, and he feels that that is an evolution of matter, whereby matter always takes on more sophisticated form. I don't know if this is a good term, sophisticated form, always more refined forms. Suddenly a bird could fly, could leave the earth. Suddenly a man could think, all these things, and it seemed as if matter would get more and more complicated and more intelligent and more life in it. Is there life, truth, intelligence and substance in matter? The great question mark. And the evolutionist would say, yes, you can see it. Out of an ignorant little cell came forth a very conscious, logically thinking human being, so there is truth and intelligence and life in matter. So, again, natural science up to now has always been reasoning on one dimension, on one level, just as we have been brought up in school. And we have to re-educate ourselves nowadays into a multi-dimensional reasoning. But Mrs. Zeri always was reasoning in many dimensions. She always played an orchestra. She never did sing a hum in her textbook, just one voice. She says that matter and spirit, and here you have those two opposites, that matter and spirits and spirit are states and stages of consciousness. So she could see they all have one cause, consciousness. They have not two different causes, two different consciousnesses, but that they are states and stages, which indicates levels, various planes of consciousness, and therefore spirit and matter are the same stuff, but seen through different lenses, through a different consciousness. The moment I take spirit and look at spirit with a limited view, I see matter, because matter by definition is limitation. Therefore, if I look through the lens of science, through the microscope of spirit, matter is not seen. But the moment I look through the microscope of misunderstanding, I see matter. Therefore, spirit and matter are not two things, two realities. They are only the way consciousness, the way things appear to consciousness, and therefore it's a matter of consciousness, how I look at things. Jesus, for instance, looked through the lens of science. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. Exactly there, where for another one who looked through his eyes, instead through the lens of the prism of science, where through the lens of his eyes he could see a sick, mortal man. So it isn't that we have on one side the perfect man, on the other side the sick man. Those two don't exist as identities in being. It is just a matter of how we look at them. Therefore, it depends all on our level of consciousness from which we look out. So we can see at this point that it is absolutely wrong when in consciousness we believe that spirit translates itself into matter, because spirit translates itself, not as spirit translates itself as matter, as many of the biologists feel, that spirit takes on the form of matter and manifests itself as matter, that matter is only another form of spirit. But it would be right to see that spirit translates itself to matter, not into matter, but to matter. And the moment spirit touches that concept of matter, matter disappears. So that under the impact of spirit, matter yields, the limitations yield, and the yielding of limitations is called material evolution. Actually, it should be called the other way around. What appears as evolution should be called material involution, matter giving way to spirit. Not matter becoming, matter taking on a more sophisticated, can you say sophisticated form? With all the, see, instead of just having a tiny little cell, you suddenly have a bird with wings and with a bill and I don't know what, an organism and so on and so on and so on. Still matter, but very, very organized.